Welcome to another episode of the Official Catch Up Podcast. I'm Ben and I'm with my two, I was going to say co-hosts, but like, I'm not really co-hosts, are we? So that's not really a thing. But I'm with Moza and I'm with Chris. Moza, how you doing?
I'm good, mate. I'll take a three-way co-host. That makes us all sound a bit more important, doesn't it?
Exactly. Probably fair to Chris, is like producer Chris, isn't it? That's probably Chris's like title, the boss, man in charge.
I actually thought you were going to go for something like really... really posh or something, like esteemed colleagues or something like that.
That's Parliament.
I'll save that for next week, right? That's fine. And of course, Chris, how did Chris?
Not bad at all. Looking forward to another episode, I guess.
That's plenty to talk about. I'm sure we'll cover the current eight goal thriller at some point, no doubt. Still licking my wounds about that, I'm not going to lie, lads. But just a quick shout out to our sponsor, the Soccer Shop Direct. Find them on Twitter at The Soccer Shop D. Check out their website, www.thesoccershopdirect.com, for all your team wear and football equipment needs. So we're getting straight into the matches. We had a game on Friday night. It was Cumbernauld Colts versus University of Stirling, and it was a 6-1 win for Uni.
We all saw this one coming, didn't we? We totally did. Yeah, backed. Two teams on a bit of a tough run. We kind of expected the reaction from one of them, and obviously Stirling Uni were the one that gave the reaction, absolutely sort of decimating Cumbernauld on their home patch, obviously at Broadwood. 5 minutes in, after a good bit of interplay, Lewis Kennedy steps into the box and curls one to the top right corner to give Stirling Uni the lead. 15 minutes gone, it was across from left, the Colts keeper doesn't manage to get to it, and Jamie Penker slams it home for 2-0 Stirling Uni. Good to see Jamie Penker back on the score sheet as well. Just after the half-hour mark, a great save from the Colts keeper as Jarvis gets into the box and almost curls around him. Corner comes in, and then Lucas Dizutin, I think that is, fires it home for 3-0. 2 minutes later, it's another for Uni, fired home from the middle of a ruckus of players. The consensus of opinion was that it was James Stokes that put it away. There was obviously a few weather issues during the games at the weekend, obviously with heavy rain and whatnot, but it was half-time, 4-0 Stirling were up. 51 minutes, Colts have responded well after the break. I guess the dressing room was a wee bit vocal at half-time, is what the comment was. 77th minute, they did get a goal back. It would only be a consolation, obviously, Ewan McPherson for 4-1. And the 79th minute, Ewan McGill comes in, who's we've spoken about previously. Obviously, he's came up from the, I can't remember if it was East of Scotland or under-20s team, but he's came up. 5 minutes in, he gets his first goal. Corner comes in as Penker's shot is deflected wide. Ball comes in. With a U again, McGill scores an absolute cracker to make it 5-1 Uni. And it was Ewan McGill that rounded off the scoring. 88 minutes gone. He's only done it again. Hashtag super sub, 6-1 Stirling Uni. Absolute rout for Stirling Uni. Wasn't totally expecting that. I mean, we did mention, obviously, Stirling Uni were coming off a sort of three-game losing streak. Now Cumbernauld Colts have lost four in a row. So we did expect a reaction. I wasn't quite expecting that from Stirling Uni. I did think it was interesting that that Chris mentioned that he felt had been coming, because they do have goal scorers, obviously. I believe, obviously, Ewan McGill that we've mentioned has been really impressive. You know, Jamie Penker coming back into the team, really. So, great for Stirling Uni, not so great for Cumbernauld Colts.
Yeah, it's a bit of an eye-opener, isn't it, for Cumbernauld. We spoke about it before that we don't really know where Colts are this year. They seem to be better than they were last time round, but there's so many teams that were struggling to get a grasp on who they are this season at the minute, and I think Colts are now in that category that it depends how they bounce back for this, because that's not just a defeat, that's a tonking. Whereas Stirling Uni, well, it looks like they've finally put it all together, because when I've seen them this season against Broomhill, they created all the chances, he didn't take them, and ultimately we stole a point off them. But if they can keep doing that and making things work, then there's no reason why they can't push away at the top. So well done to Chris and the boys. We never called, I don't think anyone did, so it's a ridiculously good result.
Great result for Stirling Uni, but I think we're always thinking about unis, we're never sure because of the way they obviously they're set up, and maybe it looks like maybe they've got a team this year that maybe can challenge. This could be the turning point in their season where they could become one of those teams where they, I think, was a lot top seven they were last season before everything like shut down. So I mean, there's potential there if they can go on a run now and do bits against our teams, because that's a great result. Because again, like you said, we're never sure about coming on all either. But 6-1, can't fault it at all. Great effort by Chris and the boys, for sure.
Just a wee note on that also, I think it was interesting, obviously, having not seen the game, it's tough to really judge defensive errors and individual errors and stuff like that, but it was pointed out by Chris that I think they shut down the Colts midfield, like Stephen O'Neill and guys like that. So I thought that was quite interesting, because obviously you can put it down to defensive issues and stuff like that, but if he's completely shut down Cumbernauld Colts from the back to the front, I mean, it's great. And obviously, the result sort of speaks for itself. And one thing I will add, obviously, we want to wish Chris all the best on his from his operation, obviously. I don't think he was, if I remember right, I don't think he's on crutches anymore, which is great to see. So just hope he recovers really well.
So say all of us. But that leads us into the game of the week, doesn't it?
Yeah, catch-up game of the week. Bet Rangers versus Dalbeattie Star at Shieldfield Park, and it was a first loss for Dalbeattie.
Yeah, sorry to be the jinx for you, Star fans, but first loss in the league, as Ben says, ending the perfect start to the season. On the flip side, it's a massive result for Berwick, who needed to kick into life. So, first action of note was 24th minute, big chance for Star, free kick whipped in from the right, a glancing header, didn't catch who it was, but just went wide of the post. And it was a game of few chances until 34 minutes on the clock. Berwick took the lead. Dalbeattie Cleans deflected into the path of Lewis Allen. Initially, it was a pretty tame effort that was saved, but luckily for him, it rebounded back to him. He rounded the keeper and put it into an empty net. So that was Berwick in the lead. Jack Cook just afterwards booked for a late challenge outside the box. And the cross came in, Star looking to equalise instantly, hit the post from a header. So that seemed to be their kind of main threat early doors. Other than that, McKenzie free kick fizzed wide for Berwick. Scotty Taylor McKenzie, but by a contentious one right in half time, looked as if he might have been kicked when he was lying down on the floor following a throw. Apparently the officials just didn't see it, and there was a bit of handbags at dawn, I think is the best way to describe it. A few yellow cards get given out unceremoniously. So 1-0, half-time to Berwick. More of the same into the second half. 2 minutes in, Allen knocked it down into the path of Taylor, got it out of his feet, struck just wide from 20 yards. 55 in the clock, ball flicked on by Smith into the path of Allen again, who sounds like had a cracking game. He found himself 1-1. He did scuff his effort wide of the post, so maybe wasn't he so cracking when he was 1-1 there. And then there was only one real chance, I know. 73 in the clock, 20 minutes left. Through ball from Harris to Graham Taylor. The winger he's toted the ball, but the star keeper made a great save to keep the Dalbeattie side in it. But it ended 1-0. Berwick seemed to be the main kind of aggressors over the piece. Star had their chances for set pieces, as we've mentioned, but deserved win for the wee Rangers.
I don't know if you guys saw the highlights, but I think they got really, really fortunate with the goal. It was a clearance, bounced straight off the Dalbeattie Star defender's head, straight to Lewis Allen. I did like the fact that the Dalbeattie Star guys actually claimed offside when it off their own man. But Lewis Allen, he looked, you know, I gave him a wee bit of stick for his dab goal celebration on Twitter. But to be fair to him, I don't know, he might be a FIFA player, or he might have kids or something like that. But he looked like an absolute standout in that game. Look, I do think he should have buried his second chance. He had a really, you know, good chance, I think, in the second half, but just missed it. So, it's kind of what we expect from Berwick, isn't it, really? I've been saying I don't expect Berwick to score too many goals, and they'll probably rely on these sort of 1-0 results to get them through. But it's difficult. For Star, I don't think realistically any of us really thought the winning run would go on, you know, to 8 to 10 games. I was actually looking at the Spartans game thinking that that's probably going to be their toughest test, and they've just lost just before Berwick. But yeah, it's how they react now. We've seen the likes of Bonnyrigg react from a loss or dropping points. I don't quite know if Dalbeattie will react in the same way, but I hope they do. I hope they can go, maybe not the next game because I think it will be difficult against Spartans, but I hope they can go another five games, you know, winning and whatnot. But I don't know if they've got the quality to do that. Obviously, it's been a fantastic start, but they'll have tougher fixtures coming up than they've had, despite, and that's not taking anything away from them. They have played some decent teams, but there's definitely going to be tougher fixtures for them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Lewis Hamilton bringing back the dab, and then maybe next week he'll bring back the floss or something like that if he gets a good angle. That'll be, there we go, if he's listening.
Like your money. What's the boy, the Scottish boy who used to be with Hearts, went down south, does all the Fortnite dances and that? Patterson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, does he? Aye.
Callum Patterson, yeah.
Patterson, aye. He does all sorts of stuff. He's just a wider merchant, like.
If Lewis is listening, let's see, get your floss out for next week. Okay, moving on to the next game on the fixture list. It was Civil Service Strollers versus Vale of Leiden. Bit of a disappointing result for Vale, a 7-1 win for Civil, and Civil stayed top of the league.
Yeah, you know, it's funny about Civil. I think I was quite critical in the first podcast of this season. I didn't really expect them to push or do much. I think it's a wee bit too early to say that they've proven me wrong, but especially against a Vale Leaven side that we weren't really expecting much from. But it's been a good start, obviously, top of the league, similar to Dalbeattie. A fantastic result. I did kind of have a wee bit of a laugh to begin with when Vale of Leaven took the lead on 14 minutes. I was thinking, I listened to the Edinburgh Football podcast this week and they were kind of giving Vale of Leaven sort of no hope. So a wee bit of a shocker that they were the ones that took the lead through Jack Blakely. But yeah, unfortunately it became a bit of a battle, I guess, after that. A couple of minutes later, Civil did get a penalty, and obviously they did equalise on the 21st minute, and that just really opened the floodgates for Strollers. Unfortunately, due to, I don't know if Strollers have a dedicated media person, or certainly Vale of Leaven don't. I don't really think they post out too much in terms of the timings and when goals happen, but we know that Strollers were leading 3-1 at half time through Yao Baldi, Andy Johnson and Alou Faye. And yeah, similar issue in the second half. Yao Baldi got a brace, Ali Faye got a brace, Johnny Moffat, Andy Johnson and a trialist completed the scoring to make it 7-1. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of information, but we do know that Strollers obviously had an absolute brilliant performance against a struggling Vale of Leaven side. But Strollers top of the league, but I think the main talking point for us is that Chris Anderson has obviously stepped down from Vale of Leaven as manager the following day on Sunday. And I think the issue we've had is, I think in previous seasons when talking about Vale of Leaven, we kind of, it was probably more hope than anything else that we felt that they could maybe get a result here and there. After last season, they obviously finishing with 0 points. Looking at their squad this season, we don't really know if they've improved. They're still conceding far too many goals, and it's not that they don't have decent players. I mean, they've got decent players, but it's proven guys at maybe East of Scotland Premier level rather than Lowland League level. I think the difference with Vale of Leaven now, because in fairness to them, Vale of Leaven were always a successful side. You look at them and like some maybe Peebles Rovers. But the game's moved on now, especially the Lowland League. You've got these community clubs that have like a wealth of young talent coming in that will be in the first team in a few years. You've got former East and West juniors that could potentially be in the league in a few years. So, and obviously it all comes down to finance as well. And Vale are leaving, the location of where they are, the player pool, the guys they can bring in. Like, for me, I just don't think they can really compete at this level anymore. And I've got to give massive props to Ando, because we have always kind of backed him on this podcast, because we, I truly do believe, I don't think there's anyone that could do a better job than Ando. All that he's put in for it, I respect him personally as a player and a manager and what he's been through previously. And I just think, I just don't know where I can see Vale going this season other than down to the East of Scotland Premier. And we might have the same issue. I know, you know, with Whitehill, another former successful team, yeah, that they seem to be now struggling in the East of Scotland Premier. I just think potentially Vale are leaving. Similar to other clubs, might be in a wee bit of free fall here. I don't know about yourself, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, this was always the way things were going to happen with the Pyramid, because you bring over all these established sides for the junior system who, let's be honest, if you just take them kind of pound for pound, are probably a level above a Vale Leithen. That's not anything against Vale, because when the Lowland League was formed, they were one of the sides that stepped up. Other sides could have done it and they didn't. So they're there where they are on merit, regardless of what anyone says. And I've seen a few quite unkind things said about the likes of Vale and other sides like that, which is just completely uncalled for, because they're running the right way. They don't spend money they don't have. They had a manager, Nando, who gave everything he had to that club, and he'd done a brilliant job keeping them where they are for 6 years, as other sides have disappeared. Your likes of Three Rovers have gone down, and that could easily have been Vale, but it wasn't. So it's what something had to give eventually. Like, it's pushing a year and a half now since he had a win. So Ando did try to step down at a point previously, remember, and they convinced him to stay on. I think now they've just said, look, it's maybe time for a fresh start, and if we can find a way out, brilliant, but if not, just embrace the fact we're going down and prepare for it, prepare the right way, because it's by no means a done deal. The season's still young, and their sides, including my own, who are still not safe by any means, but I just don't see where Vale's next 3 points is coming from, and that's the big thing with it. They need to get a win here or there, and they just haven't looked like they were going to do it. So
that's the difference, I think, because, you know, there's been a few teams, obviously there's been about three or four that we think maybe might be in danger of relegation, but the likes of, say, an Edinburgh Uni, which we'll talk about in a wee bit, but I always feel that they can pick out a result here and there, whereas I just didn't have faith in Vale. Again, it goes back to being more hopeful than anything else, because, you know, we got on with Vale and we get on with Ando and stuff like that, but I don't know if someone coming in can even turn this around, unless the only way I can see them actually maybe bringing in a manager that has links to higher up. Obviously, Ando had his links to likes of Spartans and stuff like that, but maybe someone maybe a youth coach that can bring in on loan a few youth players and maybe do something that way, because they certainly don't have the money of other clubs to spend. I kind of feel sorry for the players there, because it must, you know, we've talked about morale and stuff like that. I mean, it's not great to be on a team that's losing, you know, 5-6-7-0 every week and no chance, you know, of winning and stuff like that. And especially on the younger guys, I don't know. What are your thoughts, Ben, on the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think echo everything you guys said about Ando. He's got to commend him for sticking around for so long, because they've been on that kind of downward spiral for the last, what, 3 or 4 years, and we've always thought that their time will come, obviously, with things with like COVID and season stops and all that they've kind of been quite fortunate to be able to stick around. And I think for Ando as a manager, it's probably not great for him either. Like, when you talk about morale for the players, it's probably the same for him. It can be a bunch of interest turning up every week, picking a team, doing training and all that kind of stuff, to then just get pumped every week. And it's probably not what Empty wants to do. And I think he looks like a good manager, and I think he'll be able to probably bounce back and maybe go with a team in the East, maybe who are looking for a manager. But I think the next question is, who takes the job at Vale? I mean, there's probably not going to be a queue of people lining up to take that job and take that responsibility. So you're probably going to need to find somebody who maybe is a bit inexperienced, and maybe, like you said, Chris, has some connections. I don't know, maybe even if it's like a kind of retiring player or something like that, who's maybe played played at a level and has contacts with different teams, maybe League Two, Lowland League, or whatever, and they can potentially get some guys. You remember they got the guys in from Dundee United? They got some boys in from a couple of years back. A
couple of years back, and then they've had boys for Bonnie Rigrose last season, the curtailed season. The danger with that, though, is we remember Selkirk, what happened with them and Gary O'Connor went on. Getting an old season pro doesn't always work. To put it mildly, didn't they work at Selkirk? So they'll probably end up with somebody local, I'd imagine. Just somebody wants to get the experience, and as we're saying, it probably will be somebody quite fresh, quite inexperienced that'll go in and just try to build for the ground up and go from there. I don't see kind of a well-known face going in there, but I'll be happily proven wrong, we'll see.
That's it. I think you're right. And like you said, Moza, I think the idea of maybe just preparing to go down and maybe have to just take your medicine, go down and have a season where you're playing in the, is it the East they play, isn't it?
They would go down to the East.
So they'll maybe be one of the better teams in the East if they can build their own squad for the East rather than obviously they're probably building a squad for the Lowland League, and as you guys said, they're probably maybe more likely to be kind of East Prem players. Maybe those guys can maybe stick around and maybe battle at the top and give the fans something to enjoy maybe for a season or maybe two, and then who knows what can happen. Maybe they can bounce back up if they get the right squad and the right bit of consistency in there.
As Chris says, the issue they've got is East Prem is very strong, so Whitehill are struggling now. They probably do need to start making changes now, even if they are going to go down, to prepare to give themselves a shot if they're going to end up in East Prem. So regardless, they need to change something. So we'll see what happens.
We've never seen obviously a team come back up to the Lone League. One note on Freve, though, to be fair to Freve, they did resign from the league rather than got relegated. But they
basically accepted the relegation.
I don't know where Ando lives, but I'm going to start the campaign for Ando to Kilburnie.
I've heard whispers for a certain Mr. Ben Grant that Ando would say Kilburnie.
He would. I think he would. Kilburnie are dog shit right now, so they need somebody who's going to do a good job. And
to be fair, I saw Mr. Ronnie tweeting as well, so you never know.
Well, there you go. There you go, Ando. If you get a job, well, you can thank me.
Agent Ben Grant.
Bit of an indictment there, eh? Just like, oh, they're dog shit.
I'm not going to be about the bush. They're not very good for the moment. I don't know what it is. They've got quite a young squad, I think that's what. So, I just like to create fucking targets myself, boys. I'm just ticking them off one by one.
Hot joke.
That's it. Just tick the box and we'll move on.
To be fair, I rate Corey Pearson, actually. I think he's
good player. Very good player. Wasted at Kilmarnie, but good player. No doubt about that. Moving on to the next game on the fixture. It was the Spartans versus Broomhill. I'm sure, Mozza, you can tell us all about it.
I can't. I wasn't actually there. It's the first game I've missed this season, but I had
the runs. I forgot about that.
Cheers for that. So I will run you through. Oh God, there we go. I will run you through what happened. So it was a much changed lineup again. The gaffer's still trying to figure out the squad and who's best 11 is and so on. Had another couple of trials, couple of debutants playing. Should have actually been 1-0 at Broomhill. Stevie Barr back in goals for Owen Stott, launched the ball forward. Caused a bit of a mix-up, so kind of route one, Andy Monk ended up getting it to his feet and knocked it past Carswell, but big Michael Bolo came from nowhere to save a certain goal. Great last-ditch tackle, proving his worth at the back for Spartans. Not long after that, there was a short corner for Spartans sent to the back post, Mikey Allen in space, and his header was collected by Barzo, but the half-hour mark was where the deadlock was broken, and it was the home side. Scott Maxwell sending the ball across the face of the goal for Blair Henderson. This is why he gets signed. He's 2 yards out, taps it in, Spartans get the lead, and half-time 1-0. Still, both sides very much, and I think on the balance of play, from what I've read, Spartans probably had the better of the action. 5 minutes into the second half, Broomhill again had the chance to equalise. Scotty Cusick on the volley. was a long Jordan Duncan throw in, but his strike went just wide of Carswell's far post. And a couple of minutes after that, it was game over as far as Broomhill were concerned, because Jamie Dishington got loose. Jack McAlwyn didn't really think about it, brought him down, and he was sent off. Last man challenge, down to 10 men, and it was an uphill battle. 20 minutes left, Spartans sealed it. Barr miscontrolled the ball, Jamie Dishington managed to sneak in and finish, and that was how it ended. But it wasn't the best performance from either side, I don't think. It was one of those where both teams basically cancelled each other out. There was struggling to hold on to possession for more than 5-6 passes here or there. But Spartans did the business. They'll be comfortable enough. Last 20 minutes, they took it a bit easier, given they had the 2-0 lead and the man advantage. And it's a few games now on the trot that Broomhill's lost, unfortunately.
It was the first thing I noticed, actually, Derek, about the Broomhill lineup, that there was, I think, 3 or 4 changes. I only recognised one of the guys, I think, Regan O'Sullivan, I think, came from Ross Vale as well.
Regan played at the game before as well, and played left back. So,
To be honest, the issue that Broomhill, I think you mentioned it as well. I think they're obviously the manager's obviously still trying to work things out and who is his best team. And to me, with the changes in the lineup, I think obviously, like say, Barzo coming in for Stott and things like that. Obviously, Gabe Skiak, who's been doing well, was kind of off to the bench. Sean Slavin also, I think, was on the bench as well. So I think for me, I think it was just a tester, really, that game. Obviously, Spartans, on the other hand, they would have been surprised, obviously, at some of the changes, but they're quietly going about their business. Obviously, a lot of the focus has been on Dalbeattie and Civil Service Strollers, so they'll be absolutely delighted that no one's really put a lot of focus on them yet. And I think, they're up there for me. And obviously, it's still a continuing process for Broomhill at the moment.
Yeah, I think the thing about Broomhill is that the way Gorms has had to come in is probably making it so difficult for them to... I mean, no pre-season pretty much. They came in,
Is pre-season for us, because he's doing what he would have done with pre-season friendlies. He's giving boys a chance to shine and kind of rotating the squad about to figure out what the best 11 is. These boys have still only been together 3 or 4 weeks, so we're a month behind.
Yeah.
That's the long and short of it.
And that seems pretty obvious, I think, from what I've seen so far. And, but I've got real faith in Gorms to turn that around and find his team and maybe go on a run at some point, because he's a great manager and he's the right appointment for a team like Broomhill. And certainly with a kind of fresh start at Broomhill as well, he's the right guy you have in there to do that and go and see what they can do. So have every faith.
The thing is, I've got no worries whatsoever. Just seeing the way he's kind of building the squad, that he's managing, he's looking after things. Like, the results the last few games haven't been great, but I can see what he's trying to do, and you can tell he gets it, you know. So he's came into a really kind of tough situation, and he's managed to pull things together very quickly in terms of our squad. We only had, 8 or 9 bodies there. So he's given youth players a chance. Adam Moss has came in, looked good. And it's a work in progress, but I'm fully confident come the turn of the year that we'll have found ourselves and we'll probably sit in mid-table, I think.
Just wait till he goes and raid some more West teams or some boys.
I mean, Swifty did it before, so I'm all up for that.
That's it. Who knows? Because there's obviously good players in the West, but don't come anywhere near Cowan, all right?
If TC wants to return, he's more than welcome.
TC will be going nowhere. TC is firmly wearing the number 9 jersey of the Blue Lions. There'll be no need for that. But there is players there in other teams, so that means if you maybe go to a Darvel, for example, and maybe weaken them a little bit, that'll be like
top. Can they afford their wages, mate?
Well, no. I mean that's it. I mean, talking about Darvel, just incidentally, we were talking about BSC. Your man at Broomhill, your man Lyle Afsey, he was in goals there night for him.
He was one of our 3 keepers last year. Ended up falling out of favour, but I could see him getting another gig. Lyle's mum used to always watch the live streams as well, hoping our boy would be playing for us. So it was a bit awkward towards the end. And I was like, yeah, Lyle's not on the team again.
I liked how Mark does the media dabble. You referred to him as Avicii, just went straight for it.
I always thought that, to be honest, when I saw his name. I thought, like, is that just a nickname or something, you know?
It's an easy one to take, isn't it?
But I guess unlucky for Darvel to lose to him on Wednesday night against a team in Coincidence. It's unlucky, but we move on. I like how I said we down there.
To be fair, just to counter that, I mean, you's what a 4-1 lead drop on Saturday. So
I knew we were going to talk about this at some point, and I probably made more Rod from one back there. But we were 4-1 up at half time against a very poor Rutherglen side, to then draw 4-4.
Can I be that poor?
I would disagree with the poor. I think they've got some decent players.
I'll be honest. Like the first half, they were terrible. Right, they were just kicking us right off the park, and I was like, fair play. I mean, that's all you're doing. I mean, the one boy should have been sent off. Absolutely no danger. He gets subbed at half time because his next foul was a red card. Like, no doubt about it. But they scored at the first minute of the second half, and it just totally riled us. And I don't know what happened. And they get it back to 4-3. It gets me a bit nervy, and then they score an absolute worldy free kick from about 30 yards, and it's like 4-4, and we just have nothing to get back into the game. But that's the second time we've done that now. Did it against Grafton last week, and 3-1 up and through 3-3. But long season ahead.
Slight review of the winning game there, a wee sidetrack.
I missed both the Grafton and Darvel games because I was on my holidays, on my staycation.
Of course,
Staycation. But I just segueing in there, but polite reminder to Gorms, don't take any corner players. Just going to remind that. And Mozza, if I'm telling you a player's decent to win, you don't pass on the message.
I don't know, he knows already.
I know, but don't come anywhere near. Anyway, back to the Lowland League. Rather than that segue into the West, we are going to Gretna versus East Stirlingshire, and there was a 2-2 draw in the end at Gallabank.
Yeah, a bit of a controversial one. There was a wee bit of back and forth after this game over one incident, but we'll go to the game. Obviously, I was played at Gallabank, so I think the Radial Park still sort of. Yeah. I don't think the pitch is ready yet, so hopefully it will be soon. But yeah, Gallabank changed the scenery for both sides. Shire took the early lead. Tyler Fulton side foots a loose ball from a Robbie Young shot past Matthew Connolly. 12 minutes in, and Gretna equalised through Josh Cooper, who I believe used to play in the West, I think, Port Glasgow maybe, I've heard, but I'm not too 100% sure about that. You might know, Ben. Shire are awarded a penalty, but it's saved by Connolly, who, by the sounds of it, had an absolute cracker of a game. So it's still 1-1 at half-time. Former Shire man Ewan Griffiths picked up a booking for a few robust challenges and was shown a second booking and sent off on the hour mark. Unfortunately, yeah, he's also the Gretna captain now, so not a good moment for him, obviously, playing against his former side and captain Gretna and getting sent off. I guess what you would think, you saw Gretna going down to 10 men, they did actually take the lead. Josh Cooper again on the 64th minute with his brace, and the 63rd minute, another Shire penalty, which Robbie Young puts away this time to equalise. Rodden hits the bar from wide angle after Turner was awarded a foul out wide. Dean Watson heads off the bar. Another onslaught on the Gretna goal. Just a wee note, it's Dean Watson for East Stirlingshire that hit the bar, not Dean Watson for Gretna, since there is
Dean Watson.
A couple of chances that have hit the bar for East Stirlingshire looked like they were really obviously going for it against 10 men, but it was Gretna that had a chance. Wonder save from Ross Connolly stops Gretna scoring against the run of play. And for the third time on the 90th minute, Shire hit the bar again, but it was a 2-2 draw. It ended. And I'll speak about this incident because obviously it's had a bit of a debate between Jonathan and a few Shire fans, I noticed. So basically during the game, Shire had the ball in the net while Jack Healy was in the box injured, but he was in an offside position. The ref was happy to give the goal because it didn't appear like the Shire player was like and that, you know, and what I can't remember the word they used,
interfering
with the play, because he probably wouldn't have been the eyesight being down on the ground. But the goal was chopped off after discussing it with the linesman. Having not seen it, I don't really know. I mean, obviously, Grenell will say that wasn't a goal, and Shire will say it was. But if the player is on the deck, I don't see how he can be sort of interfering with the play unless he's like right in front of the keeper.
It depends if he's getting in the way of the defenders and the keeper. So it's hard for us to make a judgment on it without seeing pictures, without seeing video of it. But if he's interfered with a defender getting across to put a block or a tackle, then it is interfering with play. If not,
it does seem strange that the ref was going to allow the goal and then the linesman said no. So you've got
unless the linesman has maybe noticed, say the keeper's kind of assumed it was finished and dropped his guard, or I don't know. It's
got to play the whistle, but though that
you've got to play the whistle. I agree, but the linesman must have said something that has convinced the ref that he should have chalked it off. Sustained.
But either way, obviously it's a probably a better result for Gretna than it is. Obviously Stirlingshire, I think they'll be disappointed, especially against 10 men not to win, but it did seem like they were really sort of hammering them towards the end, and I think that Matthew Connolly's absolutely played a world there. I did hear that he was up there with obviously the new boy Josh Cooper, who got a brace. Do you know anything about this Josh Cooper, Ben? Have you heard his name? I believe he came from Port Glasgow.
But no, I don't know.
But yeah, good to see the sort of new boys of Gretna obviously doing well during games. Guys that will probably become more familiar with, hopefully, during this season. But a strange game, obviously, to sort of try and sort of sum up, especially all the incidences and the red card and whatever else.
Sounds like Gretna's getting a wee bit more clinical, is what I would take away from it. Like, they've clearly not had as many chances in that game, but they probably could have won it. And all things considered, so I think Rowan clearly is building something there. They'll be delighted with the point, having gone down to 10 men so early. They've got a couple of decent winnable games coming up as well, and I think, if I remember rightly for the latest update, their radio should be ready in the next 2 to 3 weeks, because they have started all the work on laying the pitch. It's just a case of getting it signed off, essentially, as fit for use. So you would have thought that would have been a tough one, being away. I know they know Gallabank quite well, but still not home, and they've done the business. Ultimately, they've got the point they wanted. Shire will be disappointed, because I don't know, it feels like another year now for Shire where they're going to win games, but they're also going to drop games that they probably shouldn't drop, and drop points they shouldn't drop. And they had designs, don't make any mistakes about it, they had designs on getting out of this league again this year, regardless of losing a wee bit of financial backing and so on. So nobody's out yet by any means. It's still early doors, but they don't strike me as a team that's going to go and win this league or challenge to win this league.
I think you're right, Waz. I think it's one of those that are just so kind of hot and cold right now that they don't seem to have that consistency. Isn't it?
Half the league's hot and cold, though. That's the problem.
I don't think anyone's being overly consistent.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the thing. I think there's a lot of teams there that are picking up points when they probably... you'd think they shouldn't be picking up the points. And
yeah.
They probably expect them to be winning games. So it's you're right. It's absolutely... I think it'll be tight at the top. I think, obviously, we've talked about East Kilbride from the start, but I'm sure we're going to them at some point and where they're at. But if you need something to chip in.
Yeah, Shire's problem was always the fact that they played really well against the top sides and were maybe unlucky not to pull out the wins. But against the sort of Gretners, the sort of mid-table sides or towards the bottom sides, they always seem to... There is a shock in there sometimes for them.
Yeah,
That's been the issue for them. But it's been a really strange season, even 5-6 games in for everyone, I would assume. I don't think anyone would have predicted how the leagues went so far.
I mean, glancing at the table, 13th Broomhill, 15th Cumbernauld Colts, 16th East Kilbride, tells you everything. I know there's obviously reasons and games that haven't been played and stuff, but yeah, it's there's some things that just don't make any sense so far in this season, and I'm loving it because it's different.
Next game then to look at is Bo'ness versus Celtic B. And it was a win for the B-boys of Glasgow.
The B-boys, yep.
The B-boys, I hate that. Absolutely despise that. And I hate that it's becoming a thing.
It's so a thing, man.
We've kind of talked about Celtic B up to this point, thinking they're maybe a level below where Rangers are. But that's a very decent Bo'ness side. They beat at the weekend. Starting off, 13 minutes in, great save for the Celtic goalkeeper to keep out Conor McMullen, a fierce drive. And it was a first chance of very few, a first half of very few chances. Danny Galbraith approaching the half-hour mark. His free kick beat the wall, but not the keeper. And straight after that, Xander Miller had a chance. He came close, but couldn't hit the target. So 0-0 at half-time. Bo'ness, probably the better of the two sides. Celtic B came back into the second half. Just after the hour mark, Cars through and goal. Andy Murphy managed to stand tall and make a great stop. Just a minute later, another chance for Celtic. Stuart Hunter managed to get the ball cleared off the goal line to deny a certain goal. And then the kind of main moment with just we're approaching the last 15 minutes. Bo'ness go down to 10 men. Nick Locke got his marching orders. And from there, Celtic B were able to make the number superiority tell. They scored with 5 minutes left, a scramble in the penalty area with, forgive me, I'm going to say this, Soleil Letsosa scored.
Sosa, I think, right, yeah.
I'll just stick with Letsosa. So I apologise, mate, if I have mispronounced your name there, but fair play to you, you got the goal. And they scored straight away after that as well, a couple of minutes there. Second, the eventual restart with a finish from Bruno Davidson, who has a slightly easier name to say. So 2-0 to Celtic in a game that realistically was probably going to end 0-0 or maybe squeezed 1-0 to Bo'ness until bad rashness sees them down to 10 and they get penalised for it.
It's one of those, I think, from Celtic B. I think we were, as you say, Marcy, we were quite critical of them and thought that the Rangers, but they seem to be coming on here. A bit of a performance of obviously maybe finding that the players are starting to gel as a side and they're maybe being able to do. I guess what they claim to want to do is develop a squad and get them playing as a unit and so they can develop together. And that's obviously we've talked about this over the course plenty of times and we get plenty of stick about kind of Celtic and Rangers. B sides, but obviously that's what they're there to do, and it looks like they're maybe starting to do that. I think Rangers started obviously quite quickly, and obviously have much more togetherness in that squad. But I think you're seeing now as well. I think with the lineups itself, they're picking the same boys kind of more regularly. Whereas before, I think the first few weeks there was quite a few changes, guys coming in and out of the squad and things like that. One thing was first year right now, you won't see the boy Ralston playing the B team. He looks like he's an ex-Steve.
He's graduated.
So he's I've got to shout out all the Celtic fans who gave that boy stick, man, because he's playing really well up in the first team. But I think we thought he'd be playing in the B team. I thought we'd all see that boy once playing that B team, but looking like he's doing a job. But it'll be interesting to see how they go, because I think we've talked a lot about them, as I said, and we've kind of said how they kind of really need to finish like first and second to prove themselves and to get into like the League Two, or not to get into League Two, but certainly to prove that they're worth in the leagues. But which they aren't doing at the moment, I think, from both the sides, and it'll be interesting to see where they do end up over the course.
I was just going to say, if anything, I feel like so far this season they've proven that this is their level. They're not SPFL level, as yet, anyway. And bear in mind that's with having players that they've spent hundreds of thousands of pounds on in their squads. They're still at this tier 5 level is what I would say. So we brought it up, and Ben did try to steal this point when I made it first, but we brought it up saying, look, if they don't manage to win the Lowland in this 1 year experiment essentially, it doesn't exactly help their chances of getting into the SPFL on merit, does it?
I think there's a bit of it's a bit of a strange one. I can't really compliment Celtic too much, obviously, because I've got a bit of stick. But there has been a few players that are definitely, obviously, they're still young, but I would say they probably are a wee bit of a step above. Owen Moffat, for example, he looks like a right footer playing on the left, sort of inverted winger. He scored a couple of goals. He looks like he could probably be at least SPFL standard. The boy up front, Vata, has been really impressive. So I think overall, probably not, but certainly there is sort of individual players here and there that that probably are above this sort of level in terms of their ability. But then again, there's guys in, you know, that are maybe not young guys, but you could probably say that about players all over the Lowland League, regardless of age, and the west of Scotland, east of Scotland. It's a strange one. I think one point I have to kind of bring up, and I kind of wonder your sort of feelings on it, is there has been a lot of red cards being given out against teams playing Rangers and Celtic, and there was an incident recently where the Celtic boy, I don't know if you saw it, against Stirling Uni, absolutely grabbed the boy's neck and it was never sent off. Do you think the younger referees would be intimidated by Rangers Celtic?
Nah. No, it's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy.
Nah. I was just going to ask to get past my tinfoil hat there, but...
it's a conspiracy, honestly.
It's been brought up, obviously.
It's not Rangers and Celtic, though. It's youth teams with 300, 400 fans watching them. So... In fairness, we do need to give props there that the fans have continued to go to these games. Like, there was a theory going about that, one or two, you'll sell out because there's not been any fans in grounds and then they'll lose interest. They're still shifting 300-400 tickets when they're selling them. So we'll see if that keeps going, naturally. But I think you're right in that there's players that are above this level in that squad, but overall the level of the squad is no better than this Tier 5 level, is what my argument would be. And I think we'll get that proven when we get to the SPFL Trust Cup that they're involved in as well. So we'll keep an eye on that. The other thing is, obviously, there have been a couple of impressive performers so far. There's a chance they end up going out on loan to a higher level if it would benefit them. Barry Coffey for Celtic, for example, was slated to be part of their B team. He's now going on loan to the Irish League, the Irish Prem. So, like, I could see Owen Moffat getting a loan to League One at some point.
Celtic, one thing I have kind of noticed, I do believe Celtic have a better, you know, we've kind of talked about the quality between both sides. I do think Celtic have a better depth, not necessarily better quality than Rangers, but I think they do have a better depth. They seem to have a lot more sort of players coming in and out of the squad rather than Rangers, who are obviously you always get like say Tony Weston and Leon King and that, these sort of guys playing. I think Celtic have a bit more sort of, I don't know if they've just included more younger players or what it is, but I do think they seem to have, like, they have more sort of players registered for the B side, if you will.
Yeah, I think you're right, Chris. I think looking at the Rangers squad, and if you talk to kind of Rangers fans as well about their squad, there's a lot of guys there, like individually talented guys, that they really have kind of ideas that these guys are wearing the first team at some point, and they're that good. And I think they've certainly got that. Well, Celtic have that, I'm not too sure, but there'll be some. And I guess for both those teams is the idea of playing in the league is to try and maybe get one or two that can come out and come into the squad, like a Callum McGregor or a Ralston or whoever. That's the aim, is to try and get somebody that can come through and maybe fill a gap in their squad where they've got, I don't really know enough about Celtic, because Kelly on the Championship, and I don't really pay attention to the Old Firm anymore now, which is quite sad. But I think that's the idea, isn't it, that both teams will be trying to get maybe two or three, maybe four players through over the course of the next few years. But backing up on something you said, Moza, about that, you know, you probably get done to death about this, but the 12-month thing, isn't it? Obviously, if Celtic and Rangers don't prove themselves to be good enough to be in the League Two, what will happen in year two, if you like? Will they come back? I mean,
let me put my cards on the table now for anyone listening. See all this chat about, it's never going to be 12 months and that. I can categorically tell you, if there was a vote tomorrow to extend it a year, it wouldn't go through. And I can categorically guarantee that for the clubs and what they would vote tomorrow. So that I'll leave it at that.
I think that's the thing I'll be talking about for the rest of the season. But the 12 months, it's only 12 months, it's 12 months.
You know what's funny about the whole thing? I know people still talk about it to this day, even though they're now already in the league. But I don't really, has it been much difference to them actually being added to the league, other than that we have, you know, we're talking about them. I actually, in some respects, because I keep saying, but I really like development football. Yeah, to see like the I don't know how well some of the boys are going to go. Like, I don't know if Owen Moffat, for example, is going to play for the Celtic first team and stuff like that. But they're certainly talented footballers that maybe won't play for the Scottish national team or the other national teams or whatever. But just to appreciate the fact that they're actually really decent footballers, and we have seen some really good guys that hopefully, similar to the younger guys in the development league, and that hopefully will go into to play in the SPFL and all the, you know, I just appreciate that aspect. I mean, yeah. And one thing we have to give credit for, not just to the Old Firm fans, but certainly throughout the league, is the attendances have been much better. You know, I don't know if it's the fact that there's, you know, people have been missing football, but even at some games, like, for example, Spartans, they're getting like 200 people going to come into a game, which is up from, you know, 2 years ago. So it's been good. It's been good.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think you're right, Chris, about that, the attendance thing. It's the appetite to get back to football. Maybe there has been a lot, I think, probably doubt about whether or not people can get to see their, probably, let's say, their big team a lot of the time. In a lot of situations, like, you may be seeing a little bit of bounce. I know, like, from our own perspective, we were playing Darvel on Wednesday, and we'd have probably the biggest crowd we've had in about like maybe 2 or 3 years. But a lot of people were kind of, it was quite a Wednesday night, not a lot on people there coming to see probably Darvel.
I was just going to ask you if Darvel were your big team there, but I held off.
Am I a big team? No, not at all. My big team are sitting second in the championship at the moment. So
that's such a weak flex, isn't it, for a Kelly man?
I know, it's so bad. But here we are. But yeah, I think so. Hopefully, just it keeps going, because it's great for the clubs to have fans. And you might find that a few are deciding not to go and see the big team, and maybe stick it out and stick and go and watch a Bonnes or a Bonnyrigg or even maybe a Vale. I don't know if there's people maybe going to their games, but it'd be good for the league itself to have more people coming to watch the league, because that's what, and obviously that Celtic and Rangers being in it as well gives that level of maybe intrigue, where someone will come along maybe from who's local and goes, oh, I want to go and see Celtic B play, but then next week they come back because like, I really enjoyed that, I'm going to go and watch Bonnes or Bonnyrigg, whoever are playing that week against maybe an Edinburgh Uni or a Gala or something like that, who are playing their normal game. So it can all be good for the league, I think, that's the thing. I know we've talked about it today, so we'll not drum the labour the point too much about the B teams, but it's not doing any harm really at this moment in time, let's be honest. But we've kind of ripped the band-aid off now, haven't we? We've kind of moved on a bit and we're kind of getting into the
harm would be done if it continued for more than a year, and that's still the main worry people seem to have. So yeah, but I suspect when we start next season and they're no there, it'll be still remembered, but to a point forgotten about.
I mean, nobody's really... all these people who are jumping about, moaning about it, have went back in their box and they're not talking about it anymore. That's the thing. Like, it's all these people from League 1 and League 2 teams and Championship and things like that that were complaining about it. There wasn't that many people in the Lowland League complaining about them coming in. So it's interesting. It spices things up as well, I think. That's the other thing about it, is makes it a wee bit interesting and gives you that wee bit of kind of mystery about what they're all about. But we'll get back to the football that happened in the Lowland League this week, and it was Cali Braves versus Bonnyrigg Rose, and it was a 2-1 win for Rose.
Yeah, it was a bit, you know, you talk about football, it was a bit of a drab match, to be honest, if I'm brutally honest. The problem, I think, when I was watching this stream, it was kind of ground level, so it was really difficult to see in the distance, because it was proper ground level, the camera. The first half wasn't great. Both sides sort of lacking quality. However, there was two goals. Luke Main does brilliantly and drags the ball past the Bonnyrigg defence. Then Camley slots the ball beyond the Rose keeper to give Braves the advantage. Really well taken goal. Kind of got in behind. Really good finish. Really composed finish, I should say. Bonnyrigg did get the equaliser, a cross in from the left, and Kieran Hall managed to get a a sort of flying back heel on it. It hits the bar and the rebound is tapped home by George Hunter. So it was 1-1 at halftime. And I was kind of messaging, well, I guess yourself, Derek, about this game because we were discussing it. And I said, you know, I said, I reckon Bonnyrigg are going to win this with a set piece. And of course, they won it with a set piece. Yep. So on the 78th minute, a Fisden corner by Lee Curry, towering header from Dean Hoskins finds the net and Rose win 2-1. I noticed, I think Bonnyrigg will, I think they felt that they deserved the win, but to be honest, Cali, Donie and Braves, I think they felt that they were good enough for the draw. I would probably be on Brave side for that one. I don't think there was much quality. I think both teams had a better second half, but I would have said a draw was a fair result. I think Caledonian Braves were a wee bit gutted not to at least get the point. Of course, Bonnyrigg will be happy and delighted that they got the win. I've seen both teams play better. I've seen Cali Braves play better this season, and obviously I know Bonnyrigg can play a lot better. Yeah, again, similar to Spartans, I think Bonnyrigg are just going about their business. They've dropped a few points this season, but yeah, again, you expect them to be up there. Cali Braves, I've actually been quite impressed with them recently. I think I said it in the last podcast. I think they have sort of taken a step forward, which is weird because I actually think last season they had a better team. So I don't know how that works. But yeah, I've been impressed more, I guess, defensively, because the one knock on our Cali Braves was always the fact that you know, they were a wee bit static in defence. But Bonnyrigg, we know they're a danger from set plays. You give them a corner or a free kick, it's kind of like, it's almost like a penalty. And Lee Curry rarely misses penalties, so that's how I feel about Bonnyrigg with set plays. And Ricky had mentioned that obviously they had trained for that, but obviously it didn't work. I feel sorry for Cali Braves, actually, in a sense, because I do feel like it should have been a draw. But yeah, Bonnyrigg deserved winners, and from their point of view, I guess.
These games are the reason why Bonnyrigg will challenge for this league. Like, simple, because they always seem to find a way to grind out points and grind out results. And if they need a line set of pieces to do it, so be it. They're happy to. I don't think they've played at their best at all so far the campaign. And yet they're still getting the points on the board. They're starting pretty solid. It's been a big difference between them and East Kilbride. The start of this season, East Kilbride haven't been picking up any, even when they've not been playing at their best, and Rose have. So I'm with you on Cali Braves. I do think Cali Braves have been better than advertised, better than we thought. Obviously, I got the chance to see them in the flesh, beat Broomhill. I wasn't fully convinced by the defence that day, but I think up front, they were a lot better in an attacking sense, just overall play, than they were last season. They maybe got a wee bit too reliant on McNeil going through the middle at points last year, but they've got several people now who can get a ball, run with the ball at defence, cause trouble, and three or four guys that are more than happy to chip in with goals. So I think Braves will be fine this year, absolutely fine, but I still think Rose will be right up there. When all said and done, we'll see if they can push on for promotion or whether they'll be left wanting again.
Shame on the person that gave Jamie Walker a wee bit of abuse. I mean, that he's got the best hair in the Lone League. I don't know what he'd done. I don't remember any sort of incident that he put in a tackle or anything like that. So, but yeah, Jamie Walker, he skied over a chance, and a Rose fan obviously gave him a wee bit of pelters. And yeah, but yeah, he's got
prime, like, Robbie Savage looks.
He does, yeah. So I think it's maybe a case of some jealousy because of that. But yeah,
maybe somebody mistook him for Robbie Savage, to be fair.
It just seemed out of the blue that that Jamie got picked on in that moment. It was just like, yeah, what did he do? So I'm guessing it's the hair, but yeah.
I need to check this out. I don't think I've seen it. I don't think I've seen this Jamie Walker hair. I need to check this out and see what the story is.
Can go back
is.
To my live stream. There's your cheap plug.
There we go, cheap plug for Moz. I get the plug, Janelle.
I think he was getting called Robbie Savage in your live stream, wasn't he?
I did call him Robbie Savage at one point. So yeah, I'm guilty of that.
To be fair, I must give it to Jamie Walker. I mean, it's a brave man to have long hair playing football, because you know the shouts, get a haircut and all this sort of stuff. I mean, I grow my hair quite long in winter, as you guys know, and I always get them shouts as well. It's like, get a haircut. It's like,
it's the long hair and the bright boots combo, isn't it? Pretty sure he had like bright green boots on or something as well, so he obviously likes to be noticed. And to be fair, he played very well against us. So,
yeah, he's been playing everywhere for Cali Braves. Obviously, left back, right back. I think I said against BSC, he was playing like right midfield or something like that.
Right wing,
so,
playing right wing.
Yes. So he's. I quite like Jamie, but
utility man. That's a utility man. That's the phrase I used for that.
Davey Hopkins, Mark II.
Next game then is Edinburgh Uni versus Galatheridine Rovers at East Peffermill, and it was a 1-0 draw.
Yeah, not too much to run through here, so I'll go through the chances quickly. First goal, 21 minutes, and it was a cheeky nutmeg from David Maskery leading to a pinpoint cross. Ben Spellman, main man up front for Uni, headed home 1-0. Gala equalised on half-hour mark, so it didn't take too long. Through ball in between the right back and the centre-half, found Buxton parrying a shot into the path of Aliou Touré, who stuck out weight. So that was 1-1. There was a penalty shout 5 minutes before half-time. Maisie's dribble from Lawson led to him getting pushed down by the Gala centre-half. Obviously, this is from the point of view of Uni, but the ref signalled for a corner. So all square at the break. Into the second half, Morris turned his man. Lawson put Spellman through, and Spellman this time put it wide of the near post. He's not missed too much this season. Bit of a let-off for Gala. 55... It was Gala this time in the ascendancy. Miller headed the ball off the far post and away, where had a great chance to score. A couple of minutes later, Buxton made a great save as well to keep out a long-range effort from Jack Beaumont. Uni managed to hold out from the resulting corner. And then final chance of the game, really, 10 minutes left. Maskery finding Lawson at the back post, but his volley was too close to Beveridge in the visiting net. So 1-1. All things considered, it sounded a pretty fair result, in all honesty.
Yeah, it's one of the things we keep saying about Edinburgh Uni. They can pull off results here and there. I wasn't really too aware of the Gala scorer. I don't know if he's been a trialist or if he has signed, but I really hope that he doesn't sign, because we can't have two Alous in the league. I mean, Aliou Faye has got to be the only Aliou. Unless he gets called Ali. Ali Touré is fine. But yeah, we can't have two Alous in the league. Come on. Fair play to Edinburgh Uni. Really decent result against the Gala team that we had sort of question marks of whether they would be improved this season. I think it's still too early to say. I think in the last podcast I made a bit of a mistake. I think I gave them credit for beating Bowness United away. I think it was a draw, actually, so just to correct that one. But probably better result for Edinburgh Uni than it is for Gala. For me, I think that they'll still want to push. Too early to say if they're going to be as good as last season.
Great result for Edinburgh Uni. This guy Ben Spellman looks like a bit of a find for Uni. Seems to be getting the goals and must be absolute great find again. It's coming back to the Uni side, you don't know what you're getting, isn't it? It's one of those, and obviously getting a player like him, he looks like he's going to be capable, and if he can get the chances, he looks like he's going to put them away.
Oh, he's a major standout. He's the guy that I was raving about from week one, when I'd seen him play against Musselburgh as well, that he scored an absolute howitzer for about 30 yards. He's a big, strong boy. He looks like a target man, but he's getting more to his game than that. And he scored a belter against Broomhill as well, a game equaliser, if anyone remembers that goal. That was last kick of the game almost, and he stuck it top corner for 25 yards. So he's very, very good. And I'd be very surprised if he didn't step up to SPFL level next season.
Doing a wee bit of scouting on him, actually, just to sort of, you know, for research and whatever. I believe he scored like almost like a scorpion kick. I don't know how to describe it. He's like put his leg out, and it's honestly, I have to send you a letter, but it's an absolutely amazing goal. That was obviously in the States, I think. But yeah, certainly he seems to be the goal scorer for Edinburgh Uni. I feel a wee bit better about Edinburgh Uni than I did sort of last season. I know I've kind of rated them as another team sort of towards the bottom, but yeah, it's like we keep saying that about Dorian Agunro in the sense that they always seem to be quite dangerous going forward. They like guys like, you know, proper goal scorer now in Ben Spielman, but obviously David Maskery's certainly got a record of scoring goals as well. So it's just in spells of games, I think, that they struggle if they concede and then the heads drop. I think that's where they're in a bit of a danger.
Looking at the final game of the fixture list, and it's the Sunday's catch-up game of the week. So we've got a double game of the week. One on Saturday, one on Sunday. There we go. That must be our first. It was Rangers B versus East Kilbride, and it was a 2-1 win for Rangers B.
Yeah. The reason I've done a double is because I think it was less than 1% on the vote. So it's kind of like, oh, well, one's on Saturday, one's on Sunday. So it's like, that makes sense to give a wee bit of a double header, isn't it? Yeah, it was Rangers B that took the advantage. A fantastic strike from Tony Weston. I know we've spoken about him, FM-wise, Ben, obviously.
Yep.
Puts Rangers B in the lead. 32 minutes, it was a chance for East Kilbride as their shot goal from the corner falls just wide of the post. So it was half-time, it was 1-0 to Rangers. We talked about better performances in the second half after whatever was said at half-time. East Kilbride came out firing. 47th minute, it was Neil McLaughlin scores the equaliser. 54 minutes, it was a chance for Rangers to lead again as Alex Lowry takes a great free kick, but the shot is just wide of the target. 22 minutes played, another good chance for Rangers as Weston drives into the box but just can't find the target. And in the 85th minute, 5 minutes to go, a fantastic effort from Adam Devine puts Rangers back in the lead. I don't know if you guys saw the highlights, but the gif that they put out, it looked like a fantastic, absolute rocket of a strike to basically win Rangers the game. There was a red card, another red card against the Old Firm, hence why I was asking about a preferential treatment as Luke Kenny is sent off for East Kilbride after a dangerous challenge. Rangers won 2-1. And just for the record, I don't believe in preferential treatment to the Old Firm sides, but you know, it's always something that seems to come up from other people. But yeah, East Kilbride, yeah, their worst start to a lone league season, not won in 4 games. I can't actually say this word, so if anyone brings it up, I've basically said I can't say it. But I can't say it.
A mixture of asterisk and ostrich you've just said there.
I've recently figured out I can't say this word.
Yes.
Asterisk, yeah. Have you ever seen the film Hot Rod? Yep. It's kind of like that. You're saying it weird. So anyway, basically, we had doubts about East Kilbride playing against younger sides and struggling a wee bit with pace. I know they've had injuries. They coming off the Premier Sports Cup, it looks like they're struggling again. I think they've probably went a wee bit down on my book, to be honest with you, because we're still going to have midweek games come with the SPFL trophy if they get further, potentially the South Challenge Cup and stuff like that. So I'm starting to worry a wee bit about East Kilbride, actually, if I'm being honest. A brilliant result for Rangers, obviously. They're kind of up there as well with what they've done. So and to be honest, they've been really good defensively as well. I know we talk about Celtic and Rangers obviously scoring goals, but they're actually looking quite good defensively as well. Yeah, East Kilbride, I'm worried about.
Yeah, I must admit, given the fact that they technically beat Kilmarnock 3-0.
I was coming to make a joke about that. You're just still my thunder, was I? You're just still my thunder.
But no, like, when you look at the games they played in the League Cup, they were all dead tight, narrow games. They got a win against Dumbarton. Just looking at it, they get beat 2-1 by Partick Thistle. They took Clyde to penalties, took Greener Kilmarnock to penalties. So there's not really been any immediate sign that they were kind of going to struggle, and then they've got into the Lowland campaign and it's just not happened for them as yet. They have, bear in mind, they have played Civil Service, who are top of the league and in great form. They have played both sides of the Old Firm B sides as well, and they've played Cali Braves, who have already said are quite impressive this year. So they have not had an easy start by any means, but this is meant to be the favourites. It's meant to be the team that has been set up to win this league and are meant to be able to win these kind of games. So question marks are starting to get raised already. I know it's four games in, but I mean, they've got Bowness next up. Bowness really need to get the points now for the investment they've made and the start they've had. So that's two sides that are beginning to get a wee bit nervous about the prospects. That's a belter of a game looking ahead to next weekend, and they do have Vale of Leithen after that, so we'll see if they can pick up from there. But I'm just waiting for the League 3 calls to start again.
I mean, with the League 3 chat, is that what he's... I was wondering when that was coming.
No, I was going to say that UK season peaked when they beat Kilmarnock 3-0, I think that's the thing. We've talked about them quite a bit for the title and expected a lot better, but maybe that's play the fact that they've been playing kind of so many games, and obviously they still have how many games? The three games in hand and as well, and still got to play these like Bowness, for example. So they really need to get their season going really from Saturday. So it'll be interesting to see how they play out, and I think they'll still be there or thereabouts. I think it's going to be across the whole league. It's going to be quite hard to call in terms of will it be Bowness, Bonnyrigg, East Kilbride, or maybe where Rangers and Celtic will end up. It's going to be a tight one for sure. I don't think it's going to be any runaway kind of champion or anything. Obviously, don't discount Star, Civil, etc. as well. So it's going to be a tight one.
I genuinely think that game next weekend's massive, because Bowness are sitting there 7 points, six games. East Kilbride obviously only get two draws and two losses for the four. Both sides are wanting to win the league, and you've Bonnyrigg are already 6 points ahead. So you lose another one, suddenly you're three games behind, and you've got more games this time round with the B sides in there. You've got 34 games to play, but even then you do not want to build yourself up a deficit like that. You just can't afford to do that. So I'm actually really looking forward to that game in a quite sadistic way to see what happens.
I mentioned that I think you're better dropping points early. But you have to like, I'm talking maybe what, 2-3 games. I'm not talking about 4-5-6. I mean, it gets to a point where, you know, the problem I think with the likes of East Kilbride, Bonnyrigg, previously Kelty, is they want to be front runners, not chasing teams, you know what I mean? So they have to really, I don't know how they're going to do it, to be honest. But yeah, it's a good shout on the Bowness game next week, Muzzer.
That's got to be game of the week, does it? We're just going to call it?
Call it now, aye. Excuse me. Well, that's another episode of the Official Catch-Up Podcast. Before we go, Mozza, where can everyone find you if they're looking to get in touch with yourself or find you online?
At Mozza Plays on Twitter, and you'll find me everywhere else through there, basically. Throw it to Chris.
At Rampant FM on Twitter, and you can find the Official Catch-Up at Official Catch-Up and everywhere else. And yourself, Ben?
You'll find me on Twitter at Mr. Ben Grant. I suppose if you're a Cobbley fan this week, you're probably going to come my way. So welcome the hunt.
Can I just point out Gordon Roney, it was Ben Grant that said everyone, right?
don't say that. I mean, talking about Kilburnie, they have protests about you at Kilburnie. The boys come and they protest up in the hill and all that, and do smoke bombs and flares and all that shit, and mad bunch. By it keeps it interesting, certainly Kilburnie. But anyway, I don't think I'll be anyway number one in Kilburnie for quite some time, put it that way. But as I say, thanks all for listening. We'll be back next week for another round of the Lowland League on the Official Catch-Up. Cheers.
Catchies.